Hi, everyone, and welcome to Bourbonnais, our first edition of Bears All Access 2017 training camp alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman, and we are pleased to be joined. We always start things off with the most important player on the team, and that is the starting quarterback. Mike Glennon joins us, his first ever meeting with us in person on Bears All Access, and we're excited to have him. Man, you're tall.
I am. Everyone says I look taller than I do on, or I'm taller than I look on TV. And I guess when you're just surrounded by guys like Tom, that, you know, you just, I guess you don't look as big, but I always tower over people, and I guess it catches them by surprise.
But how much of an asset is that playing quarterback? Because, you know, the height of offensive linemen these days, you know, they evaluate offensive tackles at 6'7", guards go to 6'6", and, you know, Cody Whitehair is a big center. But ultimately, when you drop back and you can see over the top of the offensive line, how important is that?
I think it's a huge advantage because I don't know how the smaller guys do it, because even at my height, there are times where I have a hard time seeing. So those shorter guys, I don't know how they do it. I know it's a huge advantage, but I guess I don't know what it's like to be that short and have to deal with that. But, you know, I'm just glad I am as tall as I am, because it can be tough to see.
Right. I mean, you use it to your benefit. It's not like, oh, I wish I was 5'9". No. I use it as a tool, and, you know, it's got to be helpful.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, we do have tall offensive linemen, and like you said, it usually kind of taller to shorter, but Cody's he's probably 6'4", 6'5", himself. So all across the board, we got tall offensive linemen, and but they do a great job. So
is it easy for you to see the back end of the defense, to kind of see the transition of the defensive backs? And, you know, because there's always subtle movements during your cadence.
Right, for sure. I think the probably the biggest advantage, though, is once the snap, because you guys as offensive linemen kind of get down in your stance, so it allows for you to kind of diagnose the defense. But once that snap happens, everyone's kind of popping up and doing their thing up front, where, you know, like I said, I just don't know how those shorter guys see over, you know, those 6'5 to 6'7, you know, offensive linemen.
Right.
Well, thankfully, you don't have to worry about that. Now the thing that I find intriguing is we were talking with Mark Sanchez the other day, and he mentioned, he didn't talk about your arm first, even though obviously you can make all the throws. The thing that he talked about is, for a big guy, you have quick feet. Is there a difference if you're big where feet become an issue?
I don't know if there is something about tall guys versus short guys, but when you think about most athletes, most of the quicker guys are the shorter guys, and, you know, tall, lanky guys like myself kind of get labeled right away as probably, you know, they don't have great feet. So that's something that I've worked on my whole life, because I'm not quite naturally as gifted as some of the other, you know, players in our league, but I just have to work at it, and I spent a lot of time focusing on that, because it wasn't a strong point of mine that I, you know, I feel like I move well enough to make a play in the pocket, and that's what most of the great quarterbacks in our league do. I mean, Tom Brady's not a terrific athlete, but he makes plays in the pocket, and I feel like I can do the same.
Did anybody throughout your athletic career try to talk you into eating yourself into a different position? Because, you know, at one time they tried to talk Jim Kelly into being a linebacker at Penn State, or I saw some Michigan quarterbacks through the time change of the tight end position.
I struggle as is to put on weight, yeah. So I think that wasn't a question. Most people ask why I don't play basketball, and that's because I can't jump.
Can you shoot?
I can shoot decently, but, I mean,
Bird can't jump either.
But my vertical jump at the combine was like 26 or 27. I mean, I can barely dunk a basketball. So football was my thing right away.
Wait, you can't dunk a basketball?
No, I can.
Okay. But
neither
can you, Zach.
Well, yeah, but I'm the little guy that he's talking about, and I don't even move fast with my feet.
That's not pretty, though, but I can get it done.
All right, good. Good enough. I mean, because that would have worried me. And you did go to, I mean, a pretty good basketball school at NC State, and obviously when you were there, it was a pretty good football school. When you think about the people that have helped you grow as a football player, Tom O'Brien at North Carolina State, and then when you go to Tampa, you work with some pretty good offensive minds down there. Who helped develop the type of person that Bears fans are going to see on the field this year?
The type of player would be my quarterback coach and offensive coordinator in college. His name is Dana Bible. He had a lot of success as a coach. I mean, his last three quarterbacks that he coached in college were at Boston College. He had Matt Ryan, and then at NC State, he had Russell Wilson and myself. So I think there's a huge credit to him for building a foundation for me. I came into the NFL with a great foundation of understanding protections, understanding defenses, understanding NFL pass concepts. And you hear a lot about how college players aren't prepared. I was. And then my last 2 years in Tampa, being around Dirk Cutter, who's a great offensive mind, I think those two guys really helped shape me into the player I am. And then as a person, I think I'd have to go with my parents, you know.
I bring that up because one of the things that's really impressed me about you is every time you meet the media, you do an interview, you're in the public, you inevitably get peppered with questions about quarterbacks on the team not named Mike Glennon. And I think it takes a lot to be able to stay poised in those situations because you mentioned this is your dream. You're finally getting an opportunity to take over a football team, and that's all you can control. And yet you keep getting questions about everyone else, and to stay composed in the moment, that's not something you learn from a football coach. I think that's something that you learn from the people who reared you when you were young.
Right. I think my dad is probably one of the most positive people in the world. So I think I was just around that my whole life. You know, it was always positivity, think things, you know, half glass half full versus half empty. And that's just kind of the outlook I have on things. I mean, you know, I'm living a dream, you know, and it's not to go down the road of worrying about things that you don't control. It doesn't really accomplish anything. So, I just don't even, you know, I just go with it. And I think my parents had a big part of that.
You know, in your forethinking and looking at the different rosters you did when you were investigating all the teams that were looking for your services, what interests you most about the Bears? You know, because they talk about what a quality offensive line they're going to have. You look at players like Zach Miller. You think of the running game of Jordan Howard and all the other players that go along with not only Zach, but the tight end position, the running back position, the offensive line, the wide receivers and stuff. What attracted you to saying, wow, Chicago could really be an interesting destination for your future?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to suck up to those guys at all, but a huge part of it was the offensive line.
Okay, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good group.
I know. I know I'm not I'm a quarterback that needs to sit in the pocket and make plays and have a good run game. And when I was looking at, you know, potential teams, the Bears had that. They have a great offensive line and a great running game. To me, it just all made sense to come to Chicago, one of the top markets in the country with such tradition. I just felt like it was, you know, the right team for me to go to, and I'm just glad it worked out.
How far in advance did you start thinking about your future? Because one of my last roommates in professional football was Steve DeBerg, and there was a couple times throughout his career that he was on a team, and then they drafted a guy number one. And so he started thinking about what that was going to lead to. How far in advance did you start thinking about that?
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Steve DeBerg. I ran into him at the airport one time. We were on a flight from Raleigh, North Carolina, down Tampa because he was in Tampa. And he started. It was right after they drafted Jameis, and he started telling me all his.
Right.
I think it had to him a couple times. He said,
yeah,
"I want to say
three times."
Three times. Okay.
Yep.
Like I said, you try not to focus. You know, think about it, but it's inevitable to just, you know, not ever think about your future because it is your, you know, your future. And so I don't know. I mean, I guess when they started drafting Jameis, it was not looking good for things to work
well,
out.
Well, not that, but just in general, football conversations around the landscape of everything talked about is they always go, God, I wonder who's going to get the talent of,
right,
you know, Mike Glennon at this time. And I think it's interesting because it's talked about when they start thinking about, you know, that pick.
Yeah, I think starting after the season was when I started talking with my agent about where potential teams could be. And then that really amps up not until around the combine when, you know, the GMs and the agents are all together out in Indianapolis. So that's when I started getting a better idea of where it could potentially be. But, I mean, as a quarterback, you kind of look around the league and you can, on your own, pick out what teams may be interested in quarterbacks. And, you know, I thought Chicago could be one of those teams, and I started doing research, you know, really when the season ended.
We have to take our first time out. When we come back, man, this is fascinating because there's so much. The inner workings of free agency to me are interesting. That first meeting, that first dinner that you had with the Bears organization, let's find out what that was like. And also, you had to go through a lot in Tampa to get to the point where you are today. And how did that change you as both a player and a person? We'll discuss next with the Bears starting quarterback, Mike Glennon, for the full hour here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Are you coming here to 7-Up Chicago Bears training camp? Don't get lost in the crowd hoping for a chance at an autograph. Visit the Goodwill store and donation center in Bourbon A and pick up a Goodwill VIP autograph zone pass. Hi, everyone. It's Bears All Access from Bourbon A. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabin. Pleased to be joined by Bears starting quarterback Mike Glennon. And we've been talking about his background, finding out who he is, because I think a lot of people here, you know, and it's not your fault, they didn't get a chance to really see you play down in Tampa when you had the opportunities. And I think the thing that stands out to me is twice you lost your job in Tampa, and it had nothing to do with performance. Lovie Smith comes in as the head coach and brings in Josh McCown, and then they draft Jameis Winston the next year. Mentally, how hard is that to go through when you know you have ability and you just need an opportunity to show it?
Yeah, I think probably the toughest one to swallow was after my first year. You know, as a rookie, I did some good things. I mean, statistics aren't everything, but statistically I had one of the better rookie years for a long time in the NFL. And, you know, when Lovie came in, Josh and him obviously had a history here in Chicago, and he felt, you know, best with Josh. And, you know, Josh goes down in the third or fourth game of the year. I go in. We go up to Pittsburgh, and we get a win right at the end. And, you know, I thought everything was going to be, you know, my team from there on out, and didn't work out that way. And then with the number one pick of the draft, you know, I figured that they would be going after a player like Jameis. And, you know, it isn't easy. You know, I just looked at it as, you know, this is the situation I'm in now, and make the most of that opportunity, whatever it is, and prepare for my next opportunity. And now that opportunity has come. So I don't think I really sulked. I just tried to make the most of that situation I was in, and I think kind of my positive attitude towards it helped lead to where I am now.
You know, I think the quarterback position, they probably faced the most adversities during their career than any other position in football, because when you talk about an interception, an incompletion, and all that kind of stuff, all the adversities that you've overcome has really got to make you a stronger-minded, stronger-willed football player that, you know, that ultimately the Bears went out and got.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've seen a lot in the NFL from, you know, coming in as a backup and being thrown in the fourth game of the season as a rookie to, like I said, being replaced by Josh, then benched, then they bring in a draft pick, and then honestly here, I mean, I get here, I sign, and then with the number two pick of the draft, we take a quarterback. So, I mean, it's just, you know, I feel like I've seen a lot in the in my short time in the NFL, and that does translate into actual games, in that you have to have, you know, a short-term memory, and you know, just have kind of an even keel mindset when things are good or when things are bad.
All right, the fourth game of your rookie year, you go in, and then you think about being prepared for the first regular season game of the Chicago Bears. You learn the terminology of an offense your rookie year and the difficulties of it. Has this the period of OTAs and the 6 weeks you just had off and now training camp, has it helped you learn offensive terminology in football faster the second time around with the Bears than being inserted your fourth game your rookie year and kind of still having all that terminology spinning in your head?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I'm on my fourth offense in 5 years now, so you kind of learn you teach yourself how to learn a new offense, and I feel like I picked this one up pretty quickly. You know, there's still some things that are new that are going to continue to work out through camp, but for the most part, I feel very comfortable with what we're doing as an offense and the terminology.
What are the tricks that you use to memorize an offense? Because I'm sure there's some young quarterbacks listening right now, and it's a big deal.
It's just hours of studying, and you know, I spend a lot of time doing that, drawing up the plays, writing the names, you know, writing the play out, saying it in my head, saying it out loud. It's just a lot of it, and then you kind of translate, you know, we called this in Tampa, and now we call it this, and then you kind of integrate the two, and I don't know. I mean, it's hours and hours and hours and hours of work.
What about the new technology? You know, because now the tablet's been around for a few years, and I think it's one of the greatest learning tools a player can bring home with them. If they're making mental mistakes, it's the player's own fault. But now we hear a lot about virtual reality in the quarterback position. Is it helpful?
Yeah.
Because I'm not a video game player, but I would kind of think it'd be a little bit like that.
It's similar to a video game, but it's more I'd say from like the player's perspective, which I think is cool. So you know, if it's you in there, you can kind of go back and say you make a throw and or you don't make a throw and you get off your read and you move on to the next one. It allows you to kind of either confirm or, you know, deny why you went there. You know, if I saw the Mike linebacker getting depth and I got off of it and I was right, or, you know, I probably could have thrown it over that Mike linebacker. So it kind of just allows you to replay that play.
Reconfirm
again.
Your decision or
right,
not.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And then when you're not in, then it allows you to kind of get those reps. You know, you watch it when you're standing back, you watch it in the film room, but it just gives another perspective on
things. All right, at the end of OTAs, they have a big screen out there in the practice field. You know, for me, when they started to get scoreboards inside the stadium where you could almost look up at the last replay to see, you know, if you did good or you didn't do so good, do you like that technology immediately on the field, or do you need to just pay attention to the play you just ran, maybe have a verbal discussion with a player that you'd like to, and then go on to the next one, or do you like it all?
Yeah, I think it was pretty cool. The only downside of it, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is great, you know, because a lot of times you like to see right away, you know, what I could have done better. Unfortunately, the whole practice went by, and I realized I didn't look up at all because as a quarterback, we're so worried about getting the next play, getting the huddle together. I didn't even have a chance to look at it. I know you offensive linemen like to lounge around while you're waiting on the play.
Well, we only need one key phrase out of all the terminology. You know, you say a paragraph. We need to hear a number of protection or where the hole is.
Yeah. Easy life, you guys.
Yes, we do. And then we're paid like it.
Yeah. Mike Glennon, the Bears starting quarterback, our guest here on Bears All Access. How often do you use what they call VR, the virtual reality, after practice?
Yeah, I think it's something that I try to at least peek at, you know, get in there for 30 minutes or so just to, you know, like we said, go over it again. We spent a lot of time just studying the normal film that has been around for many years. But this just is a, you know, another asset that we have that can use to help us.
When you think back to when you first started in the league, do you wish you had that technology when you were the backup and you didn't get the extra?
Exactly.
Reps?
I think that's where I think Mitch will probably benefit it the most, because both as a backup, I used it last year in Tampa when I wasn't getting the reps, because it allows you to get them. And then as a young guy, it gives a more real sense of the speed of the game, of where your eyes need to be and all that. That as a young player, you know, you don't necessarily get just watching film.
Now, are you dropping back when you have, because obviously you put the goggles on and you're watching it, but are you simulating a drop as you're doing it, or are you just watching?
You can, but I typically just kind of stand there and you look around. I mean, you look left, you look right, you can look behind.
Right, it's a 360.
You can look behind to see how the coaches react when you throw a bad ball.
No, really?
Yeah,
oh, man, that can't be fun.
You can see it all. but it's, you know, kind of just stand there and look left, look right. Treat it like, you know, you're walking up to the line of scrimmage and making your calls.
The difference in the messages that you get from Dow Loggins and Dave Ragone, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, what's your interaction with those guys, and what's the difference between the two of them?
It's been great so far. I mean, both young guys that relate really well to the players, and I mean, they more or less work hand in hand. I mean, Dal's the offensive coordinator; he's calling the plays. But we spend, you know, Dal sits in on our quarterback meetings at times. At times, we're just with Dave. So they both, you know, they're both kind of think the same way, and it's been great so far. They both got really good offensive minds.
Mark Sanchez says he's the type of guy that talks as the backup quarterback because he feels like that helped the guys that he was working with. When you were the backup, were you a talker to the starter?
Jameis did enough talking. And that's where we balanced out each other well. He was up here. I could be, you know, I could mellow him out a little bit.
But do you like the way Sanchez operates? Do you need a guy in your ear, or do you want a guy to stay quiet? And
I think Mark does a great job. I wouldn't want a guy in my ear all the time, but I also want his opinion. I mean, Mark's been around the block. He's, you know, seen it all, and he just brings a lot to the quarterback room, and I think he handles the role perfectly, really.
All right, so when we come back from our next commercial timeout, we're going to find out about this initial meeting that you had with the Bears before you signed on the dotted line here, and also this trip to Fort Lauderdale where you talked to your teammates, and everyone swears that it was a trip that bonded the team. We'll find out how next. Bears All Access with Mike Lennon on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune in to Inside the Bears, starring Anthony Spice Adams and Lauren Screeden every Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 in Chicago, and Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW 50 in Chicago. Another great show this week as Mike Glennon surprises a Chicago high school team with new Nike cleats. Spice takes part in a kids' camp with Charles Leno Jr. and Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz, and the story of how undrafted rookie Rashad Coward beat the odds to earn an NFL contract. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and Bear starting quarterback Mike Glennon here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Nike cleats, were they surprised?
Yeah, they were. It was definitely a rewarding type of trip. You know, it was in an area, one of the worst areas of Chicago, and it was a group of kids that applied to go to school because they want to go to college. So I thought that was really cool. I didn't even know that until I got there, that these kids, you know, have aspirations to get out of the situation they're in and, you know, don't have a lot at home. But, you know, with talking with them, you would have no idea the where they come from and what they deal with on an everyday basis. So I really enjoyed it and glad I could help out.
Yeah, my nephew's a head football coach here in Illinois at Joliet Township High School. My brother coaches a freshman team here. So I think when they see a guy like Mike Glennon walking into their high school and taking out your time to show that it's important to you, that they are important to you, that, I mean, that's a big boost, and it's something that carries weight for a long time. And every time they put the shoes on, you know, they're going to think about you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's kind of cool about it. It's they'll wear those every day. So I'm glad I could, you know, have an impact on them, because those kids, they went to their school and asked to start a football team. And I think high school football is one of the greatest things, you know, there is. It's one of the best experiences I ever had. And to not experience that, I would feel bad for them, and glad I could help out.
Did you have any other Division I players from your high school?
We did not. I was the only one at the time that went on to play. I mean, some kids went on to play college football, but I was the only one to go D1.
Right.
I'm guessing he's probably the most famous guy out of his graduating class, not just the
Yeah,
the
we
team, had, right?
we've I was yeah, definitely at the time, but my high school, we actually had he was older than me, but Eddie Royal, you know, Chicago Bear, he went to my high school as well. He played with my brother. They won a state championship 4 years before me. So it was funny how ended up here, and fortunately missed Eddie on the way out. But
yeah, that's the connections in football are amazing sometimes when you start to think about
it. But it takes one guy like that to inspire the rest of the kids behind him. You know, I went from the same high school as Mike Allstott, and it was interesting. You know, I went there, and then Mike went there as time goes by.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
What do kids want to know from you when you meet these high school? What do they want to know from you, an NFL quarterback?
They always ask, "What's it like to be in the NFL?" They ask, "Did you always want to be in the NFL?" And then they also ask, "Why didn't you play basketball?"
How much do you bench?
Yeah, for me, luckily, I'm like, I don't bench anymore.
So, what was that first meeting like with the Bears when they're, because now free agency is almost in the National Football League is like the recruiting process in college football, where things get very elaborate. What did the Bears do to kind of win you over? What did you need? Who was at the meeting? What did you need to hear from them? And what did they tell you?
Right. Honestly, I mean, it's with the way the rules are set up, is not a whole lot of communication between player and team. It's more relayed through the agent. So I didn't have much communication with them until I really signed. I mean, I believe free agency opened on like a 4 o'clock on a Thursday or Wednesday, and I was flying out at 5 p.m. I got to, you know, flew into O'Hare, had dinner with Coach Fox and Dave Ragone, and, you know, I didn't meet Ryan Pace until the next morning. I mean, it happens, you know, like that. So, but it was great. I mean, the whole time Foxy was just being himself, telling, not, now I know what, you know, what his personality is. He was just telling stories the whole time. And we were just kind of getting to know each other, and it was just great and made me feel welcome right away.
Who was the first player you called? Because didn't you get some phone numbers of a couple guys
that
you wanted to communicate?
I got some guys right away. I mean, honestly, guys were reaching out to me like right away. So, I mean, there was kind of rumors floating around beforehand, and Kyle Long reached out to me because I knew him from the Senior Bowl and being from Virginia. Zach Miller reached out to me because my rookie year in Tampa, he was there for camp. And then shortly after it was kind of announced, a bunch of guys, you know, reached out to me or I reached out to them. But I think Kyle Long was probably the first one. But I mean, like when I was trying to find out information, I was talking with guys that had been here, like Eddie, another guy that left, Ted Larson, was with me in college. So there was a bunch of guys I knew here, that I kind of just got their input on things.
It's neat what Zach Miller has grown into after some of the injuries he's had in his career and how valuable of a weapon he is with the Bears, how, you know, multifaceted his game has become, an online blocker, an H-back, a fullback, a backside tight end, outside as a wide receiver. So when you cross paths with a guy early in his career and then you see what he's grown into, Zach is
really, I know, it's really cool because, you know, we look back and obviously he got cut in Tampa and it's like,
right,
and how do you let a guy that talented get away? But it's great to see him to go on and have the success he has, and it's good to be back with him, and you know, now that he's back out there with us, I'm excited to have him.
The team that everyone's shooting to get to is where New England is right now, the champions of football. And when you think of the tight end weapons that Tom Brady has had throughout his career there, there's a good crop at that position here. As a quarterback who's safe with the football, and you start to look at the different mismatches that you can create. Zach's one of them. You bring in the big rookie, Adam Shaheen. Deion Sims comes over from Miami. Can you start to visualize how this is going to look eventually when everyone's on the same page offensively?
Yeah, we are definitely deep at the tight end position. I mean, we have a lot of guys that I think are very talented, starting with Zach, who's done a lot in the NFL, to Deion, who we picked up in free agency, who has also had success in the NFL, and then Adam Shaheen, who's second-round pick and impressed us. And then, I mean, you keep going down the line. It doesn't stop there. Daniel Brown, who I'm excited about. Ben Broniker is an athletic, you know, smart tight end. I mean, just all the way down, I feel like it's a really deep group. And like you said, I mean, when you get in those situations where you have a bunch of tight ends on the field, it can create mismatches because guys' defenses aren't sure how they should play, you know, those heavy tight end sets.
I think the thing that stands out to me is that group, and then when you start looking at the running backs, we know what Jordan Howard can do, but you bring in the Joker back in, Tariq Cohen, Jeremy Langford. This is not going to be a conventional offense from that standpoint because you guys can play some games with the defenses.
Yes. I mean, that's what you see New England doing and, you know, other teams that have guys. It's about mismatches. And if you can get a mismatch with a tight end or a running back on a linebacker that is more of the linebacker's more meant to be in there to stop the run, I mean, it can cause problems with them. And I think New England's done a great job, you know, kind of showing that way past few years.
Does that not put a lot of pressure on you then? Because as you're trying to learn this offense, you have to be able to quickly figure out where that mismatch is going to occur. And so do they, actually. So when you have all these new bodies together, how long does it take, realistically, how long does it take for everyone to be able to function as one offensively?
Yeah, I think, definitely there's a big checklist as a quarterback going up to the line, but you know, that's part of our job to do and to find those mismatches and make sure we get to the ball to whoever has the best chance to win on their route.
But that's got to be kind of fun conversations with Dahl Loggins, because he has to be kind of a mad scientist, because you never know what you're capable of doing until you see the talent you have. Because, you know, this is something where you could put Deion Sims, Adam Shaheen, Zach Miller all over the place, but then you can put Tariq Cohen and you can put Victor Cruz and Meredith and Kevin White and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of fun to explore the type of mismatch options that you have with Dahl, with Dave, and yourself.
I wish you could see the little grin on Mike Lennon's face right now, because it is radio, which means he's thinking like you're thinking, because there is an opportunity here to do some things.
Yeah, I think Dahl's going to have fun, you know, drawing up plays. You can,
you always have to include Jordan Howard, because going back to the day, everything started with Walter Payton and filtered from the importance of getting him stopped. If you are focusing your attention on stopping Jordan Howard, holy smokes, there's going to be some opportunities.
Without a doubt. I mean, going back to having all those guys, I think Dahl's going to do a great job, you know, dialing up different personnel groups and plays to get everyone involved. And then you're exactly right. I mean, the run game sets up the pass game.
Yeah.
If you can get those 8-man boxes, it helps open up the pass game. And if we can mix in our play action stuff and our naked bootleg stuff, it just helps everyone out.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, this meeting in Fort Lauderdale, who was there, what'd you guys do football-wise, and then for fun with Mike Glennon, the Bears starting quarterback on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock Bears news, video, photos, and training camp coverage straight from the Chicago Bears Network. Download the Chicago Bears official app presented by Verizon and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest Bears content direct to your device. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sadman. We're down at Bears training camp here in Bourbonnais hosting Bears All Access, and our guest on the first show this year is Bears starting quarterback Mike Glennon. So during this six-week period that you get off between mandatory mini camp and training camp, some guys take a vacation for a little bit. Other guys decide to get together and get to work. And that's what you did. You guys arranged a trip to Fort Lauderdale. Was it just quarterbacks, receivers? Was it quarterbacks and some of the other offensive players who went down there?
Yeah, so I thought it would be a good idea to get everyone together, you know, one, to get work in, develop chemistry on the field, but then two, just kind of have a good time and see each other in a different setting because we don't get to do it a lot. I think it is. I mean, I think that that family atmosphere, you know, it can go a long way, and I'd imagine most teams that are successful are really close-knit off the field as well. So it was a great week. We had most of the receivers, a couple tight ends, a couple quarterbacks, and, you know, got good work in and then went out and had some fun as well.
But, you know, it's got to be important to keep that terminology fresh in your head because I always, you know, just I don't think people understand how difficult the terminology of the NFL offenses are today. So, I mean, if you go through OTAs and all of a sudden you just let it go blank for 6 weeks, it's difficult to pick it back up. So I would imagine instances like that have to be helpful to you when you come back to training camp.
For sure. I think, you know, hopefully everyone's spending some time studying during their break, but this was a way to kind of get everyone's mind back into football mode, into our terminology, because it does slip away. I mean, there's just little things that you forget about or, you know, just doesn't, you know, click right away. So I think being together, talking plays, you know, having that communication like we do, you know, it does help, and hopefully we'll see it pay off.
You talked about four different offenses in the last 5 years, right? Is there any similarity to the terminology that the Bears use to anything you've used in the past?
Some similar, not a whole lot. I mean, it's like sometimes the formations overlap. Like we have some formations that we call pretty similar to what we called in Tampa. Our protections are similar, but not exactly. You know, it's
right.
Like it's all – there's some similarity. Some of the pass concepts we use are similar, but then there's a lot that's completely different.
I want to go back to the actual football workouts in Fort Lauderdale. Does someone – is it scripted? Does someone play the role of offensive coordinator? How do you guys do this where you know you're getting good work in, but there's a little bit of a surprise to what you're doing as well?
Yeah, I wanted it to be organized and not just kind of go out there and you run a slant route, you run a go route. So really, I mean, I did spend some time on it. I went back and watched everything from the spring and took notes on what we were good at and what we needed to work at. So the ones we needed to work out, I, you know, made a script for it all, and I thought it was pretty efficient in what we did, and, you know, it was organized.
Because during a real football practice, you know, there's always a camera there, and it's always being videotaped. Was someone doing that at these workouts, or is it more informal?
No, we didn't have all that. I mean, we were out there for an hour or two a day, and then after that, we put football aside and just kicked back and relaxed.
All right, you so know, what I'm, did you, wait, hold I'm on. Sure one of those guys would be receptive, though, to be getting a free trip down to Lauderdale to come and tape, you know, video you guys.
But there's some rules. Like, you can't have, I think, the support staff down there.
Yeah,
so it would have had to have been a player. You know?
Send me.
I'll go. So then after these workouts, because the other part of it is the bonding experience off the field, did you script that out and have stuff planned that you knew would create the kind of
camaraderie. So the first night we were there, we did an escape room. I don't know if you guys had ever heard of that.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I've never done one before, but it's like you're trapped in a room. It's kind of a team building thing, but it's fun. So I thought it was a good way to do it. So anyway, you're trapped in a room. There's different clues, and basically you have to get out of the room or whatever the situation was. So there was two groups of us. My group, we got out. The other group, they didn't get out.
You learn a lot about people in those situations.
Right. No, it was good. You know, some of the guys that I didn't know thought certain ways were big contributors. You know, like it was kind of cool to see the different personalities they have that you might not think these guys would be, you know, really intelligent, you know, came out.
Right. I'm not going to ask you to name names because we could go to completely different. Who's the funny guy in terms of this offense? Who's the guy that keeps the room light? Because it's tense when you're playing these games.
Yeah, it's definitely Josh Bellamy, without a doubt.
He's a talker.
We've heard that more than a few guys.
And did you say, I heard you say that Mark Sanchez is a guy who keeps things light. You know, and here's a guy who, when he's in front of the media, is very composed, obviously, because of his history in New York. And I asked him the other day, you know, so Glennon says that you bring some levity. And he looks at me, and I think he was playing around. He goes, no, I keep it pretty straight. Give us an idea of what he's like in the quarterback room.
I mean, it's hard to say. It's just he makes witty remarks that, you know, catch you off guard. He's just, I don't know. I mean, you could probably tell from being around him. He's got...
Very sarcastic.
He's charismatic, and I don't know. Him and our quarterback coach go back and forth, busting each other, and
it's a dry sense of humor.
I don't know. I mean, he's pretty funny. If you spend some time with him, it would come out. I'm sure in front of the media, it's a little different, but I can't pinpoint one thing. But he's definitely a funny guy.
All right. So since we started the show, we've been talking about all the fun and all the, you know, your experiences leading up to Chicago. Boom, full pads. That changes a lot, Mike. You know, for every single position out there, offense, defense, the seriousness of the evaluation in the tape room when you guys are watching all the different periods that you guys video. What are you looking for immediately out of that? Is it for the offense to be physical, for players to play with the same quickness that they did with no pads on? And again, I it adds a little bit to the seriousness of it because the evaluation's a little bit more strict when you add pads.
Yeah, for sure. I think honestly, I'm excited about it because the offensive line, it helps them out because when we don't have pads and all OTAs, right. The defensive linemen, I mean, that's a huge advantage for them. So. But, yeah, it is – I mean, football, you play with pads. So this is a more true evaluation of what a guy may be. And, I mean, it still doesn't tell until you play those preseason games and really into the season. But it's just one step closer to real football.
This receiving core, you know, nationally, I don't think a lot of people know about what this group can do because it's an untested group. You've had an opportunity to spend the entire offseason with them. What stands out about what that group can be?
Yeah, I think it's young, but it's a deep group. There's a lot of guys that I think could play on a lot of different teams. So I'm not sure exactly, you know, how that situation will play out, but I feel like we're a really deep group, and we have some guys that are young and raw, I guess you could say, but are talented. I mean, I know Kevin White hasn't played a whole lot, but he's an extremely talented football player. I mean, there's a reason why he got drafted as high as he did. And then Cam Meredith, I know he burst on the scene last year, and I feel like, I mean, I wasn't around, but from hearing what people say is his confidence has just risen, and because of that, he's played at a much higher level. And, you know, from what I've seen, I've been extremely impressed.
Nice combination of size and speed here, because when you look at the Marcus Wheaton and the Kendall Wright and the Victor Cruz, then you look at Reuben Randall and Cameron Meredith and Kevin White. It's an interesting mix here at the receiver position because those guys with speed, they can track a deep thrown football. But the other guys, like I you threw a pass to Kevin White, and he looks like a big target running across the middle. So that's got to be helpful for a quarterback.
Yeah, we do. I mean, both Kevin and Cam are taller guys that are long. I mean, I feel like they both have big catch radiuses, and they're both – I mean, they're easy to throw to. And then having Victor and Kendall in the slot – two guys that have had their fair share of success in the NFL. I mean, they've done it before. They're probably two of our more experienced guys, really. And then, like you said, Reuben Randall, I mean, another guy that has done a lot in the NFL. So I'm excited about him, and I think they're eager to kind of prove themselves to the rest of the league.
When we come back, you said something earlier, Mike, that kind of struck with me, and it was that if you don't look at the numbers from your first season as a starter in Tampa, there were things that you felt confident about because you went through that. What type of a quarterback are Bears fans going to see, and where have you improved from that first year to now? We'll find out from Mike Lennon, the Bears starting quarterback, next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Experience the fun and excitement of Meyer Bears Family Fest on Saturday, August 5th as the Bears hold a team practice at Soldier Field. All tickets are just $8. Get yours today at ChicagoBears.com. Down here in Bourbon A, it's Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Championship Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. So is Bears starting quarterback Mike Glennon. Getting to know the new QB here on the show. And I want to know what you think you're like as a quarterback as you get set to take over the realm here. What are you? When you think of the self-scouting report on Mike Glennon, what do you come up with?
I think it would say he has a good arm. He's smart, and he works really hard off the field. I think those are, you know, three of my strengths and what I help bring to this team.
Hey, Zach just read a promo for Family Fest. Excuse me if I don't know. Have you ever played in Soldier Field yet?
We played here my second year, but Josh was playing, so I haven't actually played. I've been to a game there, I guess you could say.
Have you gone down to the stadium since you
come
back to Chicago?
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, it's an awesome stadium. It's definitely one of the coolest stadiums in the league, just from the way it feels when you're inside of it. And I'm excited. I mean, the Bears fans are, you know, some of the most passionate, loyal fans there are. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, finally getting to play there.
There are very few stadiums left in the NFL that when you were a kid and you watched NFL films, you can say, hey, I'm going to that stadium, and Soldier Field is still one of them. Obviously different on the inside, but you know, you still have the colonnades, and when you walk inside, it's Soldier Field. So that's pretty special. But on the field, you were talking about the work that you're putting in. That first year, where are you a better quarterback today than when you first started in the National Football League? And even though you haven't really had a lot of reps in games, there's a lot that you were doing behind the scenes to get ready.
Yeah, I think mentally is the biggest difference, just taking strides of learning defenses better, knowing offense better, protections. I mean, just everything. I've just, you know, grown a lot mentally. I mean, it's like I talked about earlier, I did have a good foundation, but there's still a lot to learn. And just going against an NFL defense every day. I mean, even though I was running scout team, I'm still going against real NFL players, you know, starter NFL players. And the more reps you get, just the more comfortable you get.
What's changed about you in the way you talk to your supporting cast? Now Mike Glennon goes into the huddle, he calls the play, and then if someone does something above expectations or below expectations, do you have an easier time talking to them as the starting quarterback?
For sure. I mean, I have more confidence because I've been around, and I know what I'm saying. You know, like I know what I'm looking for. And guys on certain plays, and I know when they're right and I know when they're wrong, and I feel like I can, you know, either offer advice of how to fix that, or, you know, maybe jump on them a little bit. You know, there's a time and a place for that too. So, you know, I'm getting more, just getting to know these guys better, knowing their personalities, how they react to different things, and you know, I'm sure that'll continue to go on during training camp.
Hey, you played with Jim McMahon, you played with Dan Marino. Did they get on you?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, but everybody, you know, everybody has to have thick skin because, you know, no matter what role is or who's talking to you, you have a job to do and you have to do it right. So whether your position coach tells you to get things corrected or the quarterback, you better listen.
But there is a kind of a psychologist type of perspective that you have to have because not every guy handles failure the same way.
Yeah, it's completely true. And that's where, you know, spending time with guys off the field, you just get to learn who they are and how they handle, you know, different things. Cause you know, some guys might want to react well to being screamed at, and other guys, you know, you might have to put your arm around them and you know, kind of comfort them. So that's definitely part of the process.
But do players react to you differently? You know, Mike, you go down in Tampa, you're backup, and then players can come and vent to you. Now they really can't vent to you. It's you have to have a conversation with them about, you know, talk about what you expect out of them.
Right. I think as the backup, it's more of that comfort. You know, you're there to support guys, help them out. Where as the starter, you got to be a little more assertive and more demanding and hold guys accountable and to a different standard.
This is pretty cool because you're watching the maturation of a player in his development. And are you excited about this? Is there a sense of a little bit of anxiety because there's so many emotions that must be flowing through you as you get ready for this big opportunity?
Yeah, there's a lot of emotions. I'm excited. I'm anxious. You know, there's definitely a lot. It's definitely an exciting time, and I feel extremely fortunate to be where I am. And you know, I'm just lucky to be one in the NFL and two with the Chicago Bears. So really looking forward to that first preseason game and being in Soldier Field, and then really, you know, come September when we're playing the Atlanta Falcons.
When you mention the coaches that have helped you throughout your career, you still need to look at a player, I think, at certain points to know how you're going to act when you're out there playing and as a leader and all those things. Who influenced you from that standpoint?
My rookie year, I was lucky to be around a guy named Dan Orlovsky, who was with the Lions for many years and actually just signed with the Rams. And he kind of, I'd say, has been my biggest mentor that I still keep in touch with, kind of showed me the ropes of how to be a pro. And I think he did a remarkable job with that. And then also Josh McCown. I'm sure you guys got to know Josh with his time here. And just another guy that really did things the right way and was a great teammate. So those two guys, and then, I mean, even Jameis, I mean, he was younger than me, but he had a, you know, his work ethic and way of bringing guys together that I think is pretty rare and unique. His approach wasn't, you know, his personality is a little different than mine, but there was definitely some things that I took from him, you know, that it was good being around him for 2 years.
You know, with Josh and Dan, those guys are resilient, man. They've had long careers in the NFL, and they've had their ups and downs. That's one of the things you got to take from those two guys is that, you know, they've been on the upside, even though their career has, you know, had peaks and valleys.
Yeah, I think Josh, I mean, it's interesting being around guys like that and hearing the different stories that they have. I mean, Josh has seen it all. I mean, we joke about it that he needs to write a book one day. And, I mean, the stories he would have and the life lessons that he's taken from football, you know, I'm sure would make a great book. And he, you know, from being in the league to being out of the league to, you know, coaching high school football to now being on his third year entering the season as a starter or third team. I mean, really,
yeah, that
past
really
4 years.
Amazing. Right. You it know, is. Like the guy was out of football coaching the kids and then all of a sudden gets a call from the Bears. And now it's kind of like a retirement in the National Football League as a quarterback, and he's got plenty of opportunities, including now at the Jets.
Yeah, so having two guys like that is good to kind of go to them with, you know, bounce different, you know, ask them what their thoughts are on, you know, whatever, football, off-the-field stuff. Two guys that I was lucky to have in my first 2 years in the NFL.
Great stuff. Mike, thank you so much for joining us this hour. Good luck
thank
in 2017,
you.
And hopefully we'll visit with you again at some point during
thank
the season.
Thank you very much.
Mike Glennon, the Bears starting quarterback, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.